There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are Ace Up Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about our top scientific life hacks that have changed our life. Before that, we're going to be talking about the new ChatGPT and how AI has progressed, and also some incredible science about caterpillars.
I remember that book about caterpillars, where the caterpillar would turn into a butterfly at the end. Did you have that as a kid? Is that a Canadian staple, or is that... Did you have that?
It's famous. I can picture the cover. Little caterpillar.
Like
what
really
is
nice
it?
Animation.
Oh gosh, I'm gonna sneeze.
Oh.
I'm gonna sneeze. My soul's about to leave my body.
Wait, touch your what are you supposed to do? Touch your nose?
I
you, don't sneeze god, into the mic.
Oh my god, I feel insane. It's in the part of my head. It's in part of my head. It's gone.
Actually, that would be a really good curse. If you could like curse someone you didn't like and say every time you sneeze, you'll get stuck in the middle and never have the satisfaction of sneezing.
Whoa.
Isn't that a bad one?
Yeah, that's like a bad one. And right now I'm like, I hate my life. I want it to come out.
Yeah, sneeze is really satisfying.
Someone, when I was, used to be in a choir when I was a kid. Some might say I got the solo parts occasionally.
Okay.
But there's like my
didn't
mentor.
Translate to adulthood.
I'm kidding.
You have a beautiful voice.
My mentor in choir told me, you say pineapple, pineapple, pineapple in your head, just the movement of your lips, it goes away. And I was just talking and it
sneezing.
Went away.
I thought you were going to mention when you forget the words, you can just mouth and people say, you can say watermelon and it looks like you're actually saying the lyrics.
That's
watermelon, okay. Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. Like if you're just singing chorally, you know what I mean? You can't do that on a solo. Obviously, like, you wouldn't be able to do that. You were doing all the solos.
No, yeah. As a soloist, I couldn't really do the watermelon trick because I was front and center often. But these are not actually part of our scientific hacks that we just gave you two.
Wow.
Say pineapple.
We're so giving here.
And say watermelon if you want to be in a choir. Okay, let's get into it. I want to talk about caterpillars.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
So I read this beautiful article about caterpillars. It was so cool. And there was just this one guy. There's one guy. There's numerous guys on this planet, but there was this one guy who almost like citizen science vibes, just arguably a lot of science. Like he knows the most about caterpillars in North America, like just from constant obsessive thinking. Like he like goes to sleep thinking about caterpillars, wakes up in the morning. And now he teaches at universities and like museums need him around because he knows so much.
Like did he like now he's at universities or did he like study them?
Like he studied them, but he got into it later in life. Like it just shows you that like nature and like being a naturalist and interested in hikes and learning about the world around you, like you can kind of be a scientist without just going to academia and like being in a
lab. You can like be curious and learn about things. Yeah, fair.
And there's so many different types of caterpillars that even in this article, the journalist is just around him and they find them. And he's like, okay, yeah, like that, what are we going to name that? Because it's just like, there's never been discovered before. Wow. There's so many. It ends sadly, which is that like, they do think we're going through this insane insect apocalypse where they're all dying like en masse. Because we didn't really know enough about them to begin with. And now we're realizing they're dying so quickly.
Okay.
But caterpillars, they emerge from eggs and then they in most cases eat their egg cases as their first meal.
Okay, sustainable queens.
Yes. Like they say in the article, like if a caterpillar were to observe a human, they'd think they're the most boring animals ever because we're born with arms and legs and a brain and a head, right, and we just get bigger.
Yeah.
Whereas they like, okay, so they come out of the egg, they eat the case. Once old enough, they sprout a second head, then wriggle free of their old skin and they go through the process.
They sprout a second head.
And then they'll wriggle free of that like old skin, get rid of their old head, be completely different, but they'll still have their memories.
It's also weird to me that wriggle and wiggle are two different words, but are they?
Similar, yeah.
But like mean the same.
Yeah, wriggle thing? To me is like, yeah, like getting out of something. Like, and wiggle is just like, I'm wiggling for fun.
it's more for fun. So wait, the last thing you said, sorry, wriggle really got to me because I thought of Lord of the Rings when Gollum says, I like it wriggling, and I think that's what he says.
Wow.
When he's talking
even
about,
our dog looked away from me when he did that.
So what happened to the end at the caterpillar? They gained consciousness? No, what was it?
No, it's that they maintained their memories, but they changed their bodies completely.
Mm.
And then the spice bush swallowtail, which is like a common caterpillar, emerges from its egg and it looks like a black and white bird dropping, and that's how it camouflages.
Oh, that's cool.
So like a lot, some of these caterpillars will look like bird.
That's cool. Feces, like poo.
And it's like that so that it hides. And that same caterpillar on its third molt, so after it's like shed its skin and its head like three times, comes out with these black spots on it that look like a snake head.
Ooh, that's cool.
So then
cool.
They just like pretend that they're a snake, but it's like,
yeah,
crazy.
I like though. I've seen a caterpillar in an image that looks like a snake. It's really cool.
Yeah. And it's just like, that's just part of their process, and then they become a goddamn moth or butterfly.
Yeah,
it's just
wait,
so cool.
Did this like come out recently? Because I saw. Okay, was it in a book or like did he?
No, New Yorker.
Okay, maybe because I saw something that was saying, maybe it was a TikTok. Someone was maybe taking from this guy as well that like it's interesting that they realized when a caterpillar go, not to steal your what you learned this week, but when they like dissolve in their cocoon and then they become a butterfly, they basically like dissolve every part of their body, but they were able to prove that some of their memories live through.
Yeah, that's what they talk about that in the article.
Okay, that's really
that
cool.
Happens that happens a lot with the New Yorker.
Despite feeling like, oh, you're like, it's fully dissolved and it's become this totally different creature. Obviously, it's passing down or passing through information as the same creature.
Yeah,
which is really interesting. And I think they were like, we don't know why or how, but
yeah, there's a lot unknown about caterpillars. They're so freaking cool. But that, on another topic, I noticed that about New Yorker articles a lot because they're so detailed and so interesting. And someone spent like a year writing this one article, and then me and like many people on the internet just take
the
information. And then I've noticed how often I'll like get the New Yorker, read it, like, and then be like, oh my God, everyone's talking about caterpillars too. Yeah. And you realize it's a powerful, like,
totally source.
Source that's also read by so many people.
And even a lot of like blogs and popular articles will end up writing short versions of what the New Yorker probably is doing by quoting the person or using bits from the New Yorker.
And the pop culture stuff. Like they'll do profiles on people and then all of a sudden it will be like, well, I remember that guy from Succession, Jeremy Strong. He's like insane.
Oh,
and
the like,
for like
method
a week,
actor one.
Everyone was like, did you know that he like does this crazy shit in his car? And everyone was talking about him. And it's because there was a New Yorker profile where someone followed him for 6 months and then wrote it.
Right.
And was like,
everyone's,
yeah,
that's
but
cool.
But one day, if you didn't know that, for one day, you'd be like, for some reason, we know a lot about Jeremy Strong this week. Like, it's like, why?
Yeah. And it's because like someone at the New Yorker spent like a year with him.
Yeah. And other,
released their like article.
Yeah. And other media outlets aren't going to, don't necessarily want to say the New Yorker because they're like BuzzFeed and they just say the information and it's like kind of interesting. You don't it's almost unfair. It's kind of like,
I guess, but I mean people still love and respect things like the New Yorker that will put that much time and effort into it, and they'll always get to be like, we're the ones who created that information.
Oh my God. I
like the same way that like a scientist will like research and spend a decade of their life creating research. And then sometimes people just talk about it and don't like.
Yeah. If they're lucky, most people just don't talk about it. When I read Nature magazine, I'm like, no one's talking about like this, like one weird magnet that might do something like quantumly. Like no one's, but the New Yorker, I just think about how like at lunch, like in the cafeteria, it must be like the biggest eye roll, like of everyone being like, hello there, Nancy, sit down. Wait, like, can't you just, like, I just picture like they're all so smart and heady and like
I see I it just more imagine, like, okay, Nancy, you're gonna record this.
Yeah. To me it's like, Nancy, how was the weekend? Did you get into the forest?
No, that's too bougie.
Did you like they're bougie, don't you think?
I know
they're bougie,
but I think I don't know.
You
I don't
think
picture
that they're
them.
Like full nerd.
Well, also because they're from New York. I don't picture them with a British
accent.
Oh, no.
I picture, like, if you're working at the New Yorker, you're an expat from London.
Okay.
You're like, you know, it's the cream of the crop you're of the
cultured,
world.
And you're
yeah.
Like,
there's like a Swedish man who's like, you know, forages in Central Park.
Yeah.
Eats delicious natural wine. Is such an eye roll and like cares about social justice, but like has flown.
But the accent you're putting on is just like a different. It's a different, that's like, that's, what do you say? What's like old money, new money? The British like accent's old money and new money is like,
you think it's
different.
New money in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I think people who are at the New Yorker aren't like, oh my goodness, darling. I think they're like still have the same sentiment, but don't talk like that.
I love them. I just think they would be insufferable. Okay. So your turn.
Okay. In other current news on top of caterpillars, there was an update to both ChatGPT and Midjourney 4 I thought I'd share. I haven't been able to play around with it yet. I think you can sign up for the beta again, but ChatGPT now has V4, which apparently is leaps and bounds more impressive than the last.
Sounds like you are ChatGPT with those words, yeah, leaps and bounds.
I should have made it write this for me. But yeah, apparently now it's like acing SATs and like doing all these things at like really impressive rates. It has, there was one anecdote about how like it had to pass a CAPTCHA. I don't know how to say that word, CAPTCHA.
What is that?
You know, when you have to like point out which things are violins and then there's like a hippopotamus and like a picture of a couple of violins and you have to like click them, or it'll be like scrambled numbers that you have to write out.
Okay, but that's annoying because it's, for me, it's like, which of these squares has a bus in it? And it's like a blurry image. I'm like, I actually don't know.
I know.
And it's annoying because
I fail
like,
those all the time.
Yeah, and now I'm like, if ChatGPT is better at that than me, then we're all
yeah,
screwed.
So basically that's to prove you're not a robot. And it was able to basically, it like asked somebody to help it and told them that it was a blind person or seeing impaired and needed help, and somehow then somebody like helped them.
Oh my God, I manipulated a human.
I think so. I'm just seeing like headlines come out. But I started playing with Midjourney 5, which is an AI generative tool. So you can like type in prompts and it will give you imagery.
And images.
Yeah, like, well, people are now like, okay, this is, you have to be careful about what images you believe because it can like realistically render a real person in a situation that they may not have been. But I saw one really funny picture generated from it to show like the interesting discrepancies and how it's kind of still like childlike, because somebody wrote like salmon like in the lake or something, and then it just put like hyper realistic cuts of salmon in a lake.
Oh, that's,
you know what
so
I mean? Like
good.
It wasn't the fish. I mean, it was the fish, but it was like yummy looking
like a fillet.
Sushi. Yeah.
A fillet of salmon.
Yeah, like laying in water, but it looked so yummy. But it was like, that's funny that it didn't have the context. Like it doesn't understand context yet. But create this kind of like really
also
bizarre
that's
image.
Really sad that like a computer and AI is like, oh, humans are talking about a gorgeous fish. We're gonna do the filleted version that they eat.
Yeah, it doesn't
it's like that is more.
I
common.
Saw someone comment be like, you know, it's interesting that like it can render a chair and a butt, but it has no idea how chairs and butts like actually interact and like.
But
like a
asshole,
how you sit on a chair, not like an asshole.
But where? Wait, I'm sorry. Why are we talking about
because
butts?
Because they were trying to like the biggest problem for them now, which it has solved, is that it can render hands properly. Like there was a big meme about how AI would always mess up hands or like a seventh finger or like,
as a painter. I'm really getting into painting right now, and I have a degree in art, by the way. Some people are like, why are you painting all the time? Like, no, but I mean, like, it's not like I just was like, I'm going to paint. It's like a passion that I love, but hands are one of the like biggest.
Famously difficult.
Yeah. Like it's a big part of my art. My painting art degree was hands, and the constant understanding that if you're going to choose to paint an image with hands, like, good luck.
Really?
And I have one painting I have where...
So
I,
all your paintings just have, like, people with their hands behind their back?
People, like, when people do life drawing classes, like, sometimes people will be, like, laughing at the ones who got the person's hands in their vantage point, whereas some other people, based on where the
angle or whatever,
yeah, like, might not have the hands.
Wait, is that how that works? When you're doing a life painting of, like, a nude person.
Yeah, which, like, is so fun. I mean, I shouldn't objectify.
It depends on, you just,
fun.
Like, all have different angles.
Yeah, yeah.
Never, ever
what?
Occurred to me.
What
ever.
Did you think? We
I thought everyone like? Was painting from, like, the front.
No, they stand. It's
they just stay in the middle, and then depending where you are, that's your angle.
Wow. Yeah, it's also kind of absurd because I'm like, it is really funny that we're still like, and this is necessary. That, like, some student
but that
who
is, it's cool,
but
it's a practical,
like,
skill to be able to look at something and translate it.
I know, but you could do it with someone with clothes on.
Oh, that they don't need to be naked.
Like,
oh,
there's something
okay.
about it. Like, yeah. Now that I'm thinking about
wait,
it, because
so
I'm like,
in university, did a naked person come?
Yes, man.
That's
like
don't
like
talk to me like that. I was
no,
not in an art
I
degree.
Mean, it just means you weren't listening to me because obviously we knew each other then. And whenever I had a nude drawing class, I was running to you being like, guess what I did today? Because like it's not like it's something I did during the day.
Let's quickly touch on
about.
What other disease does Mitch have, and it's called zero memory.
Oh, yeah, true. My point is that, yes, I painted nude people, and yes, it was a really exciting part of my degree, obviously.
Yes.
And I do feel as a painter, there's just as much skill and importance in painting fabric, and that these people who came in who were very mature, and I was the one giggling, being like, that's an asshole. Like, sorry, they weren't spreading their asshole cheeks. But, like, I always was impressed with the nude models' obvious maturity in the
yeah,
whole situation.
To be comfortable just
of course.
Being
and you'd get paid, and one was, like, my barista. And I was like, hey.
Oh, my god.
And, like, they were just like, hey. And, like, tits out me
wow,
painting them.
That's amazing.
And I was the one being like, oh, I can't. I'm going to paint them.
Kidding my Catholic guilt would have been like, I can't look.
Yeah, it is really funny. All of us are blushing, and they're obviously, you
so
know.
So comfortable. Yeah.
It course corrects for certain people who are willing to do that.
Yeah.
But you stand in a circle around them. So my
right.
painting of them was different than the person like beside me or across the room. And some people will have hands and some people won't. And if
right.
you have hands,
you kind of
arguably
like,
the teacher should be like, you could get a higher mark
because
it's like
if you do them good.
It's more skill. Yeah. Wow. I have one painting of feet where I like did the feet well.
Okay. You're obsessed with feet.
No, but it's like I look at it all the time and I'm like, how did I do that?
Oh, it's actually good.
It actually works. And it's like, my brush strokes are almost like minimal. It was one of those moments where I caught myself. It's like, don't overpaint. It looks like a foot. And I don't even know why. Like when you look at the paint, you're like, why does that register so well as a foot? And it's because if you try and paint hands and feet the way you think you should, it's wrong. You have to paint what you see. And as you paint what you see, you're going to be like, this isn't a hand. Like you can't go like
right.
knuckle, line. You have to paint what you see. Anyways, this is to say it's interesting that AI also has the same issue with hands
yeah.
because it's actually the hardest part of painting.
That yeah, I don't know why that was such an issue, but that to bring it back, yes, it's been allegedly solved now, and there's lots of pictures now of AI generating like hands that look realistic.
And probably better than painters. That's the whole like is AI gonna
it's fun to play
painters?
With if you ever want to try it.
Midjourney.
Like, yeah, Midjourney. It's kind of confusing if you're not familiar with Discord. Like you do it in Discord servers and like learn all the like prompts.
Could
it's
I
not
type,
that hard.
Could I type in Gregory Brown from ASAP Science partying in a bar with Bad Bunny?
So you could.
Like, would Bad Bunny be beside me?
No. So I don't know its reference points, but you can give it imagery of your face to help it to be like this person in this
so
situation.
So I could give it a bunch
and
of
it would
photos
generate,
of.
You would just need one reference point of you, and then it could like use
wait,
that.
Wait, one photo of me?
Yeah. I don't know if putting your name in, and I don't know if this is a matter of like Bad Bunny's so famous, so it would be. I don't know if
yeah.
it's like searching the internet or if it needs you to say like, this person, and then in any situation, it can take your look.
So I could upload photos of me and then say, and then upload photos of Bad Bunny, and I could make an image of us partying.
I mean, I'm not an expert, but I'm sure you like maybe, yeah.
We should play around. Turn this podcast off because I want to go do that.
Okay. Anyway, I think it's kind of exciting. I know you on the past podcast, we thought it's maybe overblown. I think it's watch this space. I just think I'm like curious about where this will go. Maybe it's overblown, but I've been thinking it's fascinating to see AI come to this point.
Yeah, and our
and it seems like it's actually speeding up. You know what I mean? Like this jump between both of them has been pretty significant. Then I'm like, that feels like it's like 2 months. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more work that's been going on behind the scenes for a long time, but for me, it feels kind of exciting, but kind of scary.
So, and we have a past video on ChatGPT you can look up
from
a few weeks ago if you want to listen to that. Okay cool. Let's get into our hacks. Your life's going to change because ours has.
Take a little break. Okay, you have to tell me this one.
Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing. I mean, I'm in a good place right now, and I think a big part of that is directly related to therapy. I recently started going to personal therapy again, and I can already feel the benefits to my life. If you listen to Side Note, then you know we love therapy, as it's all about deepening your self-awareness. I mean, sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on a journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Visit betterhelp.com/sidenote today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/sidenote.
Study time. So we do so much science research. And so we thought, because we've sort of been conglomerating and changing our lives around a lot of the science-backed tips, that we would share them with you. We're going to go in order, back and forth.
Yeah, we thought it'd be fun. Like, either... I think sometimes the like hack world can be a bit of a hack, no pun intended. And not that we're like trying to be like, okay, here's like the hardest science, but I think we thought it might be nice to talk about the ones that are backed by science, but that anecdotally we've also experienced on our end.
Yes.
Like done and has actually changed our lives for the better.
Okay. I'm going to go first.
Okay. What's your first hack?
So this is something that I learned in a neuroscience class in university and has never left me, which is that novelty and new experiences slow down your perception of time. So the best way to think about this is like, I was going to say analogy, but it's just the truth, which is like, if you're going on a hike to a viewpoint and back, like say you get to a park and like, oh, I'm looking at the map. Okay. We're going to hike all the way to up here. We're going to take this gorgeous view and then we're going to walk back. It always feels like when you're walking back that you're walking quicker, that it took less time, that it was easier. And the reason for that is because you've actually already been on that path. When you are walking to your destination and it's the first time you've walked the path, your brain is having to essentially, quote unquote, work harder. It's wondering where it is. There's a bit of anxiety. Are you going the right way? You're looking.
It's like processing way more information.
Yes. And you're not even necessarily aware of it. Like you might just be chatting and playing like 20 questions, but like you innately, neurophysiologically have to do more work. And it feels like walking there takes way longer. When you're leaving, you know the path you're taking. You know you're going to be safe. Your brain processing power is essentially like decreased and the time goes faster. So for me, it's like whenever I'm having, I don't know, anxiety about life passing me by.
Yeah. I'd say that's like the biggest part, especially for me, that you've brought this little hack into my life is that it's useful as we age and as time feels faster and faster. And part of that is the same kind of metaphor or analogy or real thing where like
you're having way less new experiences. Like you're not learning to a new language. You're not like traveling for the first time or ever. You're not meeting people from a different part of the world for the first time ever. Like,
but I think the most like the simplest one too is like pizza. When you're a kid and you have pizza for the first time, it's mind blowing. It's, like so it's thrilling. Pizza. What's this? It's pizza. Your brain is like pizza. And then as you age, you eat so much pizza. It's no. So people are like, how come when I was younger, did it feel like time was going so slow? It's like, oh yeah, your first kiss, the first time you have sex, the first time you smoke marijuana. Like these things are like mind blowing and they
super novel experiences. Yeah.
As you grow up, it's harder to even have novel experiences because you've just experienced so much more.
So how do you force yourself to have novel experiences?
So one thing I think about is like going to see a movie. Like I know that sounds insanely easy. And I think that's part of the reason why I think about it is like when I'm just at home and thinking like, oh God, life's passing me by. Just the idea of like getting on my clothes and going on the subway to go to the movie theater. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get on the subway, which I've done a million times, but it's always new people. Mm-hmm. It's always still a new experience. Maybe like someone does something crazy. Maybe you see a friend, whatever. Like that's still different. Then getting to a movie theater, the experience of the movie will always be different. Mm-hmm. Like the actual just act of maybe walking through the mall on the way there. It's like just go into a random store. Mm-hmm. Like things like that, that I think sometimes people can contextualize as work, quote unquote, like doing something.
Right. Like you have to like put effort in to get something out a little bit. Yeah.
Like recontextualizing it. I think about it a lot. You can feel the other way, right? You can feel overwhelmed. You can feel like, oh my God, I had such a crazy day. I'm exhausted. I need to, like, that's not when I use this hack. I use this hack when I'm like,
you
everything's
wanna,
going.
You want to feel things slow down and you want to like,
And sometimes it's interesting because I think people who are super busy and maybe doing a lot of new things, you can have anxiety like, oh God, I have to go maybe to a new building today to do a new appointment. Like, sometimes it can help with that.
That's true. Like I've actually never thought of it like that.
I'm going to be slowing down time.
Yeah, that like stressed me out in that moment. I was like, oh, yeah, like I would I hate the idea of like if I have to go somewhere and like say I need to take a car for some reason and have to park it in like downtown Toronto, like I'll have so much anxiety about going to do that.
That's one thing
I would never I've never thought to be like, okay, well, at least it'll be a new experience.
That's a hard one. Like,
because it's also not that rewarding.
No, and I'm like, as much as you're right, that is a really good switch of like, it's going to be a new experience, but I'm like, that's
like, I don't want it. Like, but it is interesting to think about how so many like stressful experiences often end up being really core memories or like things that like, of course, like it's not great when it's like traumatic, but when something ends up working out, but you were very stressed in the moment, whether that's even just like doing a speech in front of people, like you get really nervous and then you like have these distinct memories of these times where your body's fight or flight was activated. I feel like that is actually like your brain encodes those memories more intensely.
Also traveling, it's like the main reason I travel because truly, there is no bigger time distortion than when you go to a new city and you're like, how the hell is it only 4 p.m.? I've gone to a museum. I've experienced what a sidewalk looks like in Mexico City, which is completely like, it's unbelievable how long days feel when you travel to the point that sometimes I'll go somewhere and I'll be there for one day and be like, I could go home.
Yeah. Like you feel like you had a full experience.
Yeah. I'm like, I've been here for a week and then you go home and a week flies by like this. Cause you're just everything
into
is
habits.
The same. Your brain is not having to process,
which is like nice. Of course you have to like balance it out. Cause for me, I think habits and having a flow of something allows you to ease into life sometimes. And if you're always putting your body through like a lot of stressful things, it can be a lot. But overall, I definitely agree. It's even one of the reasons that, not like the reason, it's taken me a long time to like want to have kids. Like, not that I didn't want them, but to like have this desire to have kids is like starting to hit me. And I know that's like normal for people as they age. Like, they're maybe more, but I'm starting to feel like, and hearing people's expression of having kids and how they let you see the world through a new way. Hmm. Not only in and of itself is it like this crazy new experience that's quite stressful and like you're taking care of creatures that like, you know.
Yes, it's a novel experience.
It's a
log
and, and every day, like people say there's so much more. Yes, time still can go fast, but you can distinctly be like, I remember when they were two.
Yeah.
Like you have these benchmarks that as an adult in their 30s, you sort of start losing. Like in your 20s, there's a lot of benchmarks, right? Like you leave high school, you go to university, university, you graduate university, you first get your first job, you have your first whatever serious relationship, your first firing, or you lose your job, or you switch jobs. Like, there's a lot. You move to another city. 20s are like a really big time in your life that all these different
have novel experiences.
Yeah, or at least even like very distinct time settings. Whereas once you hit your 30s, like, you kind of settle into life where things, not that things will be the same for the next 30 years, but they could be. You know, like, you could have like the same rough schedule of things if you keep the same job. So,
but it is like, so I'm like, even just thinking about it now, because I'm like, we're gonna go away next week just to get out of the city, and sometimes I'm like, is that worth it? Like, it's expensive. Like, what is the point? But it's like, no, this is the point. It will slow down time. I'm gonna be in a new environment. I'm gonna go on new hikes. I'm gonna be in a new small city in Ontario.
Yeah,
and I'm going to have those days feel like 5 days, even though there's only going to be two.
Yeah.
And that is nice because you're only alive on this planet for so long. Why not? It helps you get over the hurdle to do new things, which can be some of the scariest things in the world, because you're like, I'm slowing down my perception of time. I'm essentially living my life longer.
I think it's easier when you know the payoff will probably be there. Like, that's why traveling is such a good one, because most people, at least in my experience, end up having a really good experience when they travel.
Yeah.
Right. True. And you hear that, and like, now that we have traveled, we know, okay, you put a lot of work in and it is anxiety, and you go through an airport and you have to like land in this place where you're not sure, but we've done it before, and you know there's like this big kickback payoff.
Well, I would argue that it's sort of part of our, go back to this episode we're going through years ago about all inclusives, for like, part of my issue with all inclusives is that it's so repetitive and that I don't get that slowed down time. I actually leave going, oh my God, that went so fast, because, you know, not everyone is traveling and looking for novelty.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's about a vacation and it's like
to turn off.
Yeah. Or, a complete opposite. And they might have that feeling of, it's another reason to think about, what are you traveling for?
That's true.
If you're traveling to turn your brain off and have it maybe go by real fast.
Yeah.
As a negative aspect of it, go to an all-inclusive, because it's actually like, oh, volleyball again, or oh, blah, blah,
right. It ends up being the same thing after a while. The first couple of days feel like they last forever, and then you like get into it.
And I think a lot of people feel scared about going on travel experiences that will be very novel. And I think that for us, one benefit of doing that and taking that risk and getting out of our comfort zone is because we're like, we are going to feel slowed.
Well, I also like, time's just so weird. It's such that it's the one of the things that's always just on the forefront of my brain as like someone who's
I think about it all the time.
In my 30s and feeling like, okay, literally how right now is it the middle of March?
Yes.
And it feels like literally we just hit 2023.
And think about when we lived in Colombia, how long those 2 months
even
felt.
Even after the first 2 weeks, we were like, we feel like we've lived here for months.
For months. And I still think of like, when I think about November to December 31st of last year when we lived in Colombia and traveled South America, I'm like,
another lifetime.
That was a year of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It is astounding, like, how distorted my perception of time is around it.
Well, even thinking of, like, when we were in university and the amount of time that felt like, and when we lived with roommates out after university, it was really only for, like, kind of a couple of years, but it feels like we lived together for a decade with them.
Yeah, than being in our home right now where we do the same shit.
Yeah. So it is, it's a nice reminder to just, like, find ways, big or small, that can trigger that, especially if you have time anxiety.
Totally. And it's like, why would I go sign up for this random course 2 hours a week? What a waste of time. It's like, no, those 2 hours are going to feel like five. You're creating life. You're creating time in your life in some ways.
Yeah, and don't they say that is, like, one of the biggest risks of retirement if you're not keeping mentally active and doing new things, is that, like, you can lose it.
Yeah, but also your time would start going faster. When's a time you don't want time to go faster? When you're
I just mean like it's really good for your brain ultimately to do something new, even if that is learning something new, a language or taking a course. It's challenging, but it's actually like gives you these like time checkpoints and perspectives that
even like reading, I mean, we need to move on, but even like when I read New Yorker articles, I'm like, okay, well, my time is distorted because I just learned something new rather than going on my phone and looking at the same person's fucking thirst trap.
Phones?
Okay, move on. Phones are evil. We have other episodes about that.
I'm really having a hard time with my phone.
Okay, do you have a hack one of our phones? Or?
No, I don't have a hack on phones, but because I actually was like, I need someone to help me with this. So that's another question in another episode, and I know we've done these, but
we're doing research.
I need a hack to stop using my phone because I can't figure it out, and I hate it. Okay, My number one hack and obsession, obviously, is sleep. I always talk about it. So many of my What to Learn This Weeks are about sleep. And I was trying to think, like, what's the biggest hack for my sleep that's made the biggest difference in my life? I used to be somebody who was always tired, who used to wake up every morning. I'm not saying, like, I'm not tired anymore. But I used to wake up all the time so tired, could barely get out of bed. Always felt groggy. I remember when we first started ASAP Science, I was just like, I always feel tired. I'd talk to my doctor and be like, I always feel tired. Is something wrong with me? And I think the biggest hack that I took on was sleep schedule. Literally bed at the same time, wake up at the same time as much as possible. Of course I break this. Of course there's weekends when I'm up way later than I normally would be. And then I either sleep in. I mean, now I'm at a point where I have a hard time sleeping in because I have such a, like, 8 a.m. is usually my wake up time, or like between 8 and 9. So it's like my body will still wake up even if I go to bed late.
But you break your sleep cycle in awareness. Like, we go, like, on right. Friday nights,
to know
we
it's
were like,
a bit of a sacrifice.
We're going to stay up till 1. And then on Saturday, we look at each other and we're like,
I regret it.
We stayed up till 1. Like, it's like the awareness of the sleep schedule.
Yeah. Break. But honestly, it is a game changer if you're somebody who is a tired person, because not only does it prime your body to be up at those times and, like, be tired, it also primes your body to fall asleep, like, to actually, like, and I have always been good at falling asleep quickly. Like, this is something we always laugh about because I fall asleep in, like, seconds. But I honestly think before it was because I was so sleep deprived. Like, I had once heard, if you can fall asleep in under 5 minutes, like, you have a sleep disorder or you're sleep deprived. Like, it's not normal to be able to start dreaming immediately, whereas I would feel like I would, like, go into deep sleep immediately. Now I feel it's more like my body just is like, this is when you go to bed. And that makes life a lot easier.
And you had, like, you used to have a really, you used to actively not have a sleep schedule.
Yeah.
In an interesting way. You were, like, against it.
Here's the challenge. Okay.
Like, I also, like, remember thinking, like, when I was in university, I was like, crazy, like, I would, like, get drunk and party, and I guess that's pretty much it. Just get drunk and party. But, like, it was like, that's what I would be doing, and if I wasn't doing that, I would be, like, trying to go to bed at, like, 10 or 11 right. and having a normal, whereas I feel like
you're, like, up till 5 a.m.
your whole thing alone. Was like, I'm not drinking or partying, but, like, as a group of friends, like our friends were different. Mine were, like, smoking weed and, like, listening to, like, Justice and thinking we were, like, cool hipsters. Your friends were more like
let's play board games till 3 a.m.
But there was still this part of what you were doing that I found exhausting.
Right.
Which was, like, your inability as a group of people to, your ability to ignore a sleep schedule. I was like, I will ignore my sleep schedule when I'm wasted.
Right.
But, like, outside of that, I have a lot of anxiety about trying to sleep.
I think this is what I was going to say, is I wasn't at the time so ignorant of a sleep schedule. I think what happened is I was, at that time in my life, naturally a night owl. And so many, not so many, but some of my friends were as well. And over time, I had to force myself to become more of a morning person and a regular hour person. Mm. And so I was caught in between wanting to stay up late because it was kind of like my natural proclivity, and then having to wake up early.
Interesting.
So it was like this dichotomy for me, whereas you have always been a morning person, I feel. And so to see me staying up so late, would, like, if I could have my way, it would be like, when I was young, I would have woken up at noon every day and gone to bed at 2 a.m. every single, or 4 a.m. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
crazy. There was a time when I did literally go to bed at 4 a.m. like every day.
I guess what I just noticed was the ability you had to, you used to just sleep so all over the place. Like, I just think, like, this is an interesting sleep hack for you because you never had an ingrained sleep schedule motive. It was like always wild for me. You'd be like, oh, I'm going to bed. And I'd be like, it's 9 p.m. Or you'd be like, oh, I'm going to bed at 3. Like, you would just, were able to be sporadic.
Which I always liked. I thought, like, not that that's like a spontaneous person. Like, I was never considering myself, like, so spontaneous. But with those kind of things, and to this day, we've struggled with this. Like, I hated the idea of having, like, the shackles of a schedule. Like, even with a calendar and stuff, it makes me feel confined. Even now, like, over-planning in my schedule makes me feel trapped.
I am so
You're the opposite. Like, you'll be, like, schedule every hour in your calendar. You, like, know what hour you're working
on. And I love it. Without it, I'm like, I'm going
to
barf.
And I do. I've learned to appreciate it in a certain degree, but now I can see, like, if it's even too much, it still is like, I need the flexibility to go, like, I actually am kind of feeling not this way today, so I need like 3 hours of a bit more, just like time to take a break now. And
but the sleep schedule is the one thing you can hold yourself to. You still have the whole all the hours in the day to do whatever, but at least you now know I go to bed at this time and I get up at this time and I feel better.
And it makes a big difference. Yeah. And sadly, I did have to convert to like not a I'm not a bright and early like morning person. Like I'm 8 a.m. is pretty late for a lot of people, or 9 a.m. even. But it's like a consistent schedule, and it's closer resembles like what an average person's workday looks like.
Oh my God, I love a sleep schedule too. But I do, yeah. I guess I just...
I think also like when you're younger, like, because you never really had one when you were younger. But I feel like
it's... I did. Are you kidding?
No, I mean like in university. Did you actually?
Oh, no. But I mean
at that age, also nothing can hurt you.
My family. I remember going to bed broad daylight here in Toronto. like my family, I think that's... I was raised sleep schedule. For them, I think. Yeah. Not for me. Like, I mean, maybe they were looking out for my developing brain. But it was really so that they could have...
they're like, leave us alone.
Yes. Whereas I also know your family was way more chaotic.
So and funny.
Probably were breaking sleep schedules more.
I never really thought about that. Yeah, definitely. If you have kids, I'm gonna be like, 6 p.m. is your bedtime, so we can have the night off.
Yeah, like daddy's gotta light a candle and masturbate. Like I don't know what parents do.
All right, moving on.
Yes.
Hack number
two.
So
this one is like. Everyone's probably read Atomic Habits. It's like number one indigo bestseller. And it is a pretty good book.
For all the CanCon out there, Indigo is like Canadian bookstore.
Barnes and Noble? Like what are the other ones?
The equivalent.
Yeah. I guess some people like to call it Amazon or whatever. But it's such a popular book. And yeah, I had my like, I'm going to habit stack meditation with my coffee every morning. Like while reading the book, had a crazy life, and then none of them stuck.
So many. Yeah.
This is the only one that stuck, which is that I listen to my funny and enjoyable podcasts while only working out or painting.
Hmm.
So it's like I habit stack
something that you want to do with something that you wish you would do more almost.
Yes. And so it's like, okay, I can still listen to the news and I can still listen to
outside of those activities,
not to drag other science podcasts, but science podcasts, like podcasts. And like, thank you to everyone listening. Sometimes science podcasts are work in the sense that like they're making me learn and think.
You have to focus.
Yeah. I have like comedians I love. I have like The Read, which I love, like these podcasts that can actually take my mind.
Give you like endorphins and make you like, smile, laugh. Like.
I'm like endorphins. It's more like when I listen to science podcasts, I kind of can't be doing other things.
And
so have to think.
Yeah. And science podcasts for us is often actually work because we're also like trying to keep up with like, what are the things that we could talk about or cover or want to be on top of? Like there is.
Yeah, true. Sometimes
I think
I
for everyone,
notes.
It's a little bit of work because it's like actually more active listening. But, and maybe less like funny, and there's like, it's a little more dry. But for us, on top of that, it's actually related
to our
job.
It's the ones that the podcasts that I'm waiting for every week, the pop culture ones, the funny ones, the ones that I'm just like, ooh, I'm excited, it's coming. It's like, okay, because I'm excited, I now will only do it if I paint or work out. And it's helpful. It helps me. I have not painted the way I ever painted before this because I'll sometimes have internal motivation to paint and I'll go and I'll listen to music. And I'll be stoned, not stoned, and just enjoy it like that. But there's other times where I'm like, I don't want to paint, but I want to listen to this podcast. And it's now such a routine that there I am painting. Podcast is over and you're still painting. It's like about that initial drive.
Yeah,
no, and
habit
stacking
works. Is like an amazing.
Do you do any?
Yeah, for sure. And one's going to come up for me later, like related to ganja.
Marijuana.
And trying to like habit stack that with good things.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think it is, even for me, like there are times, and I'm not always so good at this, but same kind of thing. Like, actually, podcasts for me aren't, they're more like a distraction. Like I don't put them on like looking forward to it. But whereas certain TV shows, like, I will go do at the gym, or if I have a lot of them, it's like, okay, just be on a treadmill while you're doing it.
Oh yeah, I'm habit stacking Below Deck, that's for sure. I forgot to mention that. I will not watch Below Deck, not on the bike or treadmill, because it is actually the most repetitive, insane show, but I am in love with it, and I dream about it.
I'm trying to think of other habits, but I think it's really is like actually a powerful tool. I've yet to figure out, for the things that I wish I would do more, like writing music and stuff, I'm not sure how
that's
to
tough
do that.
Like, you can't do the podcast with that
because it takes a lot. It takes
marijuana.
Yeah, but see, I've tried that and it's like not a good experience for me. It's too much. It's too distracting. Yeah, I can't be listening to something. I can't be reading or focusing on something. Like, it really requires all my attention.
No, wait, the maybe only you have to do is reward yourself.
Maybe the habit stack that I've thought would eventually work, but I just don't have like the skills to coordinate it, is like, can I do this with somebody I enjoy my time with?
Oh,
right.
That's
but smart. I am like, I don't really, I don't know who to do that with.
That's really intense when you involve other people.
Yeah. Really into like, to especially if it's like, because I want to do more. I need like, yeah, then you rely on them. And then it's like, I don't know. But that would be one way to be like, it's a really fun activity. And now I'm actually working on
that's
music.
That's a good challenge. How do you habit stack something like making music, which takes your auditory? The great thing about painting is that I can listen to something and not be, I'm using my hands and my brain. And whereas you have to.
It's
listen.
My ears and eyes are occupied.
Yeah. Taste. It's like, do you like gum? Yeah. It's like, you only have gum.
So stupid. Okay. Yeah. Well, help me figure it out. All right. Number two for me. I'm really apparently about the schedules today. Scheduled walks. Or just like regular walks for me have been
prioritizing
changing.
Walks.
Yeah.
Well, something you do that's like always impressive.
Yeah. I think like it ties into the bigger picture of physical activity that took me a really long time to learn about myself. I actually really like to be lazy, or at least I thought I did. Like, mentally, it feels like the way to relax. But I've realized my body and brain, and like even more so my body, are so much happier when I have more movement involved.
You used to have this crazy thing about Sundays, which was that like they were meant for rest, so therefore you can't be doing anything. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge issue in our relationship because to me, I'm like, it's Sunday. We should
like go
to the beaches, like do all these things. And you would be like, even the thought of me asking was like, you would be upset.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it was like, I now realize you saying you were probably like, I need to relax. I need to.
I don't know why I got that in my head. I think because I've slowly, as I've aged, been better at managing my anxiety and amount of like thoughts going on in my head. So I feel that maybe I have more. Maybe at the time I just felt overwhelmed by things that the only solution I could see was to
like
give
Sunday
myself so
nothing.
Much time of nothing. Yeah. To kind which of like fair. Actually turn it off. And if I was adding in more stuff, it felt like I never got that recovery time.
Also,
and
a walk is a great one because it's not
It's minimal.
Crazy.
Yeah, you're like, I can still be kind of doing nothing.
Yeah.
And it's one you can have it stacked. You're like, I can actually listen to a podcast. I can actually take the dog
or
for a walk.
Or go with
like,
someone.
Yeah. And I actually try to go on walks without listening to things to just like let my brain wander. Whoa. Was like my bigger goal.
I don't think I've done that since I was 12.
Really?
I'm blasting a podcast at 1.5 times the speed.
I think it's a good challenge.
It is. It
Even when I run, sometimes I go, I'm going to listen to nothing.
What? You're psycho. That's American psycho. You run without music.
Lots of people do.
No one's ever done that.
You should try. It's really interesting and you get to focus on your body.
Focus on the fact that your body is in pain.
But that's like an interesting, that's like a type of meditation.
I'm dating a fucking
work
monk.
Through.
That's crazy.
I don't do that one that often, but I have. And there was a time when I was running and I was like, I'm going to intentionally do this. And it was like, cool. And it lets your brain, when you're walking at least, like explore. And
I
see
would
what comes
stop
up.
And then get a coffee. Like, I'm like, if I was ever didn't have headphones. Yeah, right.
You
I
need to try.
Imagine.
You of all people. Yeah. But I think for a lot of people, there's like for me, a really big push and aversion to like physical. I don't know. Well, like some people are born with genetics that propel them towards physicality. And I definitely wasn't. Not to say like I've always been like lucky with my weight and all like and activity. And I was put into sports as a kid. But maybe it's next to you. Like you're like not a busybody, but you're an active person.
Well,
it took like, me a long time to like overcome the hurdle of being like, I don't want to do that.
Well, we've talked about this with gym class. Like, I took gym class. All through high school because I was like, that's a scientific hack. I get a freaking credit for running in circles.
And like, I was I will not be hanging out with straight boys in gym class.
Yeah, okay. Like, there's obviously like the lowercase t, sometimes capital case t trauma around being in a change room. I was gay. I don't know how I
managed. It wasn't just the change room. It's just like such a athleticism. It took me a long time as a gay person or queer person to feel like I belong in that space.
Interesting.
Even not just the change. Yeah, just yeah. like feeling physically either weak or incompetent or not comfortable around like sports lingo or
bro
culture.
I wonder if I was doing it to overcompensate because my voice is the faggiest voice anyone's ever heard. And then, sorry, I think I've reclaimed that word. So like I say it all the time. Sometimes gay people literally look at me and they're like, well, I hate that guy. I'm like, no, it's fine. Like I think it's okay to say that. But like because I was so... Everyone was calling me gay. Maybe I was like, yeah, well, I'm actually just taking gym.
Yeah.
So like I don't Proving know if yourself. It was that, but I also just remember thinking like, truly, this is a lot easier than English. A lot easier than,
yeah.
I was really obsessed with science, so I found it easy. But you know what I mean? It's like, oh, you're giving me a credit? This feels like cheating.
For like playing games, yeah.
Truly, like they're like, oh, now you guys are going to play badminton for 45 right. minutes. I'm like, yeah, great. I'm
I
down.
Know. In retrospect, I'm like, why? It, for me, it really was the fear of my peers, I think.
Yeah, but I also think even at that age, I had something in me that was like, I need to be active or I'm going to go crazy. Like yeah. there's something about physical
your genetics.
Activity.
Your family has always been like super active.
Yeah, and I know that feeling though where you don't want to do it. Like
it's I don't
like,
think you really know. Like I'm not trying to be rude, but like of course everyone knows when they're tired. Like I don't want to do it, but I think there's different subsets of people and like it has taken me a long time to get to a place where I actively want to do any form of physical activity.
Yeah.
It's not like I had to like literally learn how to condition myself.
Yeah, no, it's
and
so
push
true.
Through things that were like actually not enjoyable at first. Yeah. And it's why I struggle to give advice to anyone about this because I don't know what changed in
But
me.
That walk thing is so interesting. That's what you chose because I've noticed that. You will prioritize your walk in really interesting times. You will do it every day and that's just an amazing start because it isn't a run or going to the gym to lift. Like it's
right.
not...
It's easy enough.
It's easy enough and it...
And it really is nice.
Yeah. And it is like cardiovascular. Like
yeah.
It is,
oh, and like from an exercise start. Standpoint, it's great. Like,
yeah.
I just mean even beyond that, it's like it's yeah. Head clearing. It's amazing.
It also is funny because like recently we were at like a pre-drink, which for the Gen Z, if you don't know, we millennials call that before you go to a bar when you drink at home with your friends. Everyone was like, tequila shots. And then you were just like, no. And there were new people there. And they were like, no, come on. And one of our friends was like, it's Mitch. He's not going to do something he doesn't want to do. Like, it was just like so flat out. And then they kind of looked at me as like your boyfriend. I was like, it's true. So like, if you had it in you that you didn't want to do physical activity, like you have a really good, strong, if you don't want to do something, you don't do it. But that could also be an issue when it comes right. to something like physical activity. Because like, sometimes I don't want to do it either, but I think about after and how much better my day will be or whatever the feeling is about that I long for.
Yeah.
And I do think that's something that I literally heard a trainer saying in a gym recently that I was like, yeah. But it's like a lot of people are downplaying, especially on TikTok and in these like muscly, insane, like unhealthy body standards that we live in. People aren't talking enough about the mental benefits of physical activity.
Right. Like, yeah. Cause it can get caught up in like the hyper, parts of like focused on body.
Yeah. Like everyone's like, this is the way you'll look. This is how your muscles get bigger. And it's like, those things can all be a product of the other thing to talk about, which is that you will be less sad after.
Yeah.
Like according to science, like that is where the science actually kicks in around exercise is its ability to almost be a, like strong
type of therapy almost.
Yeah. Therapy towards depression. Like a lot of the studies are around depression. It's not saying it's a cure, but it's something that works in some cases and studies better than actual antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
But I get, and doctors and everyone gets why it's such a challenge because it's hard. Like prioritizing a walk a day is such a good one. And you do it more than me. Like I am like, I need to go to the gym. And if I don't go to the gym, I don't necessarily go on a walk.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
No, it's nice. I think if you can do it, you should. And it is just like try and find a schedule for it.
Okay, so mine kind of relates to that. And then maybe you do one more and then we'll do a part two because this is so juicy and we have so many. And I'm actually like, this is amazing. Like we're giving you all the goods. It's kind of like when you read a shit ton of science books and then you realize I'm like, yeah, I could have Coles noted all the important parts from those books. So much of it is them talking about their like kid growing
point
up.
Form.
And I'm like, no, this is a book about time. Anyways, so this one is like what we already talked about in this episode, and it's truly the best thing that I've ever done with my life, which is bird watching. And it's because it from a scientific perspective, does two things. One, it forces you to meditate because you have to stop and you have to look at something around you. Two, that thing around you is nature. So if you think about like nature bathing and, you know, a lot of like Japanese studies around like actually shipping people in offices to nature, like it does, for a variety of reasons, make your parasympathetic nervous system kick into action and relax you. So like all the benefits that I get from bird watching are scientifically backed things to make you happy and calm and really make your life better. But for me, how bad is it to say I hate meditation? It's like, that's so horrible. Like, that's
well, you have a hard time, I think, yeah, being still.
Exactly. So a lot of people, I think, struggle with meditation because they're maybe like me, who they're like doers. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I'm actively doing something. But even as you said earlier, like you're now in a park and being asked by me to stop walking and stare and be present. Like, you were probably like, Craig, what the fuck? Like, you do that when you want to do it. I'm never forcing you to do that.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas you'll force me to do that, which I appreciate, but it is like harder than just a walk in some ways. Mm-hmm. And with the wants and the passion that comes with trying to find the birds and feeling like you're doing something, it's weird. It's like you end up doing something. Well, not at all.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is like what meditation is for some people, but you're right, it's less active.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like it is.
Or it feels really passive and hard. It's hard. Yeah. It's really hard.
It is boring for a lot of people. Like, and that's totally okay. I think it's okay if meditation's boring for you and you want to find a more active version of something that can be like meditative, as painting is for you too. It's an active form of sort of like a flow meditative state. Maybe it's different in some ways, you know?
But it's like, interesting because it's like, meditating you can do at home,
right?
It's really, it's more accessible. The other thing about bird watching that's so good is that it like forces you to, if you're not in nature like a park and you decide you just want to bird watch on your walk to your friends, you're staring at the goddamn tree on that urban street. Like it's like you're literally just like constantly like eyeball going from this shrub to that person's garden. Like you're just, your eyes start ignoring concrete because it's like, that's not where the bird is.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It forces you to just look at nature, even in a city.
I love looking at trees.
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of just looking at a tree if you're bird watching because you're having to scan it so deeply.
Yeah.
And then you end up learning so much about trees and all these things. And it's just so interesting. And I honestly think bird watching is like the one, and I say this to people, thing in my life that has brought me so much joy with zero negatives. Hmm. Like when I think about marijuana, I'm like, joy, obvious negative, addiction, my lungs, whatever. I honestly am. I've tried to think about other things like
that painting, are equivalent
it's
to like, that?
It's very isolating. It hurts my back. And if I use oil and paints, I will die.
Have to think about sometimes the point of it.
The point of it. You think about the product. Will I sell this? Is this my career? Yeah. Is this...
Like, do like, I share these? Are these personal? Yes. Or are they for other people? Exactly. Who am I making this for?
Like, there's nothing...
Whereas bird watching is the point.
It's like...
Of itself.
It's so... I'm like, I've...
Same with just like being in nature. That is the point.
And I run into bird watchers all the time. Now I'm talking to people. It's not isolating. Mm-hmm. I like learn so much from strangers in the park just by having binoculars around my neck because I don't seem crazy. I'm like, oh, you know what I'm trying to do? Mm-hmm. Teach me. Like I challenge someone to start doing it and try and tell me one negative thing about it.
Do you think there's other things like bird watching that if someone just doesn't have an affinity for birds, or like, are there other versions of bird watching that people can do?
Yeah, the thing is like
whether that is like getting into trees, getting into flowers, getting into insects, or like, you know, I guess I'm trying to think of like,
to be honest,
another
like,
way to engage like that.
Like I get it. Like I had no affinity for birds. Like I just want people to know I went into this like, my favorite animal was whales. Like I don't, I never, ever, ever, ever looked at a bird
never,
and thought
before
anything.
This.
So that's one thing I'll say is it's like the joy that I've gotten from it has nothing to do with like an innate passion at all.
Right.
So I think that like before being like, oh, but I don't like birds. Like maybe just try it because that's not what, like you learn to love anything you do.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the other day when I was in the forest with a couple of like 60 plus white people watching who were strangers, they were like, well, the best part of the day was the insects. Like that's what they said. They were like, so it's a really great time for insects. It's like this soils, mud luscious. You can lift up a, like, you know, they were onto something where I was just like, I can't go there right now because I still don't really know enough about birds.
Okay.
But for sure, there's levels. And I think bird watching can be a bit of a intro to what is a bird doing on the tree? It's eating insects. Like what, like, I think insects for sure could be it, but I think it might be a little bit more complicated and I don't know, harder. It feels like it's like the next level.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm harder to learn about.
I'm doing a naturalist course at High Park, so that's just going to be looking at trees. Like, you could get into really trees.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
But I do think, from what I'm saying, is that the benefit is nature and stopping and looking in nature. So it's like, it's not like, I think it has to do with nature.
Yeah.
It has to be insects.
I know. I want to think on that. I wonder if maybe anyone out there can think of, like, are there similar things?
Like canoeing or like boat, like
yeah,
like,
but that's a pretty high entry, you know what I mean? A bigger entry. Like, bird watching is so nice because you can just leave your front door usually and go somewhere and look.
But even running, like walking outside.
Yeah, just
like,
walking, you're right. Yeah. Being around, just walking through a forest. But it's nice that you're getting to learn and actively engage with, like, what if there's a feedback system there.
Found a negative.
What?
It's that, like, every bird watcher is like, well, they're all dying.
Oh.
Like, it is, like, oh my. But to me, that's not a negative. It's, like, we need to always be thinking about the climate crisis. It is really sad when, like, all these people who have been on the planet a lot longer are like, you should have seen High Park 10 years ago. And you're like, what?
That's really sad.
Yeah. Okay. So, next. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay. Is this my last one for this app? Okay. Hold on. What? I need to open my thing. Oh, okay. I mean, mine are always, like, for people who are anxious and whatever, scared. I think too much. And this is not for everyone, okay? But something that really helped me was pre-selecting my meals for half of the day. My breakfast and my lunch are the same every single day.
Really?
Every single day. And maybe there's some variation.
They are. Yeah, they are.
And because, I mean, there are things that I like. Yeah. Like, if you get bored, you can't do this. But I usually have some variation of eggs every single morning. And then I have a smoothie every single day at lunch. Like a protein shake kind of thing. And I just realized, for me, I get a lot of choice fatigue. I overthink things. I'm always, like, analyzing. So if I come and if I don't have a lunch plan, I'm going to come to the fridge. I'm going to look at every ingredient available and debate, like, what I can make, what I feel like eating.
Choice fatigue.
Yeah. Sometimes it would mean I just would give up and not eat because I'd be like, oh,
what?
Because I would wait to have the right answer. This might go back to perfectionism.
Oh my God.
It happens to me all the time when I want to, like, order dinner out. If we're not making dinner, I'm like, what do I feel like eating? That question can take me a really long time to find out. I'm like, I literally will open, like, a food app and scan every type of cuisine, and I slowly have to narrow it down. I'm like,
thinking about choice fatigue,
here are the, like, five that I, like, sort of feel like. Now I have to go at their menus and see, like, do they really hit the spot? Okay, that one kind of does. Let me save that to the side. I sometimes put, like, baskets of things, like, pre-ordered to figure out. And then I go, like, actually, now I need to go check their Google reviews to make sure, like, this, if I'm on Uber Eats, isn't, like, tricking me with, like, a fake review. So I want to see that they're real restaurants and, like, you know. So there's just so many steps for me. And that can be fun. Like, with dinner, I don't mind doing it once in a while when I'm like, I'm going to have a special order out and it's going to be fun and I don't mind putting half an hour into doing this. But it's, like, I just decided with work and stuff, like, it's so much nicer to just have all the ingredients I need all the time for my breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
And it's the same. Maybe I switch up, like, am I doing scrambled eggs? Am I doing sunny side up? Am I making egg sandwich?
Yeah,
that's like kind of the same thing.
Like, if you have choice fatigue or, like, higher levels of anxiety around ordering, like, holy shit.
Think
if you're someone
much.
Who, like, thinks too much about ordering food, which mine's the opposite. It's like, I'll order pizza and it'll be like, this is the worst pizza I've ever had. But that's interesting that you then can, like, enjoy your actually, quote unquote, maybe what some people would think more mundane meal more easily and stay healthy, maybe.
Yeah, it definitely helps with health because I, like, have.
If you were skipping meals, that's so bad because you couldn't.
Oh, all the time. I'd get headaches all the time in the afternoon because I'd be like, I just don't know what I feel like.
Yeah, so often, like, you'd be like, tired. And I'd be like, what'd you eat today? You'd be like, banana and eggs for breakfast. And it would be like 4 p.m. I'm like, you didn't have lunch? And you'd be like, no. Yeah.
And because we're not the greatest at having our, like, fridge and pantry stocked, now I always have the things for breakfast and lunch. Always.
So you don't have to worry about them not being
there. And being like, oh, shoot, I just, like, can't. I have to grocery shop and now I don't know what I need and I'm starving. And whatever. So I don't know. For me, and I think that can apply in other parts of my life, but I noticed food was an easy one because I found things that I just like to eat on a regular basis. It leaves dinner open. I enjoy making dinner. And when I'm making dinner, usually work is at least over or I only have a little left. So it's easy to just be like, this can take an hour and that's okay.
And I get to eat the leftovers because Mitch is like, well, I'm on to my smoothie for lunch. And it's like, I'm like,
I never eat leftovers for lunch. Yeah. I have them for dinner.
Noticed that I do. And I'm like, well, I guess I get the leftovers.
Yeah. I have noticed that as well. Unless I make a huge batch of something. But recently I've just been like, no, I'll save it for dinner tomorrow. But yeah, if you're somebody who like struggles with making decisions and making choices, that was something that at least during my day alleviated a lot. Maybe it's easier for people who have like office jobs because you have to be in a schedule of making things. But when you're at home and you're just like, what's the choice, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't want to eat out all the time.
I think that's like for people to relate to that. And like, that's how you like, you need nutrition so important from a scientific perspective that it is like, how am I going to get these like whole foods in me?
Mm-hmm.
And the way you're going to do it is just by repeating. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Part two next week. Ba-boo!
Yeah. Okay. Oh, we'll continue on. Hopefully these have been useful. Hopefully you can send us your suggestions.
And hopefully you jotted them down.
Yeah. But we'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.